Hi, this is Danielle from the Jealous Curator, and this is episode 109 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is sponsored by Saatchi Art. They are the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. You can see all of the work by all of those artists at saatchiart.com. And co-sponsoring this episode are the lovely women at Thrive. I have talked about them before because I actually became a member of Thrive about 5 months ago. Hashtag life changer. Anyway, if you're not familiar with Thrive, here's the gist. Being an artist is very important, but it's often really lonely. That's why two female artists in Vancouver started the Thrive Mastermind program for women artists all around the world. In Thrive Mastermind groups, there are 10 artists that meet once a month, either in person if you're in Vancouver or online if you're from anywhere else around the world. We meet up once a month to talk about the ups and downs of being an artist. If you're looking for this kind of support and accountability, that's the key, head to their website, thriveartstudio.com. Oh, and Thrive Women refers to anyone who identifies as female. And there's more about that on their website if you want to check them out, thriveartstudio.com. So today's episode is all about weird and wonderful ceramics. I wrote about Canadian artist Mariko Patterson, aka Forge Studios, a few years ago. Her work is covered in luchadors, tigers, Wonder Woman, and a whole bunch of other colorful, crazy stuff. I was so curious to find out if Mariko was just as hilarious as her work. So, let's find out, shall we? Calling Nova Scotia. Hi, Mariko.
Hello, Danielle.
So here we are, two Canadian girls with six wiener dogs.
Between us.
Yeah. That's quite something. That's a lot of, it's a lot of wiener dogs.
A lot of wieners. Yeah. So many wieners.
But yours are furry wieners.
I have the longer haired varietal.
Yes.
They have been at some point mixed with spaniels. So that's thus the longer hair. And although I love the smooth coat, apparently the long hair have a little bit of a calmer disposition. who knows?
That would make sense because mine are crazy. And they're smooth.
They're smooth. Okay.
And yeah. They're insane. And so, disclaimer for everybody listening, if at any point you hear two or six wiener dogs going crazy, how it's going to be.
Yeah, I have the puppy is chewing on my finger. I am trying to keep him under. Mr. Tubes is under control.
Is that the black and tan one?
He's the black and tan one.
Yeah, he's so cute. I have a black and tan, but he's a jerk. I love him very much, but he's like a terrible, terrible dog. But he looks a lot like your sweet, sweet puppy.
Right? They're all sweet when you squint and you're tired.
I know. They really are, but, you know, just jerky around the edges. But we're going to do this.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I can't remember when I wrote about you or even how I found you, but...
It's the internet.
The interweb totally did it. And
your needle
work...
in the haystack.
What's that?
Needle in the haystack.
Totally. Yeah. Well, luchador in the haystack and Wonder Woman in the haystack. Your work is hilarious and weird and colorful. And, I had to instantly fall in love. And so, season two of Art for Your Ear, why not have you on to ask about all of those weird things? So...
clear up some of that.
That's right. So I like to go right back to the beginning. So let's talk about your childhood, because I read your bio on your site. And there was a lot of, you went to a lot of schools, but I don't know if that happened later or when you were a kid or what. So take me back.
Well, I think there should be a bloom, bloom, bloom.
Yeah,
bloom.
I'll put that in.
Sound effects, right? Like the,
yeah.
Well, I did grow up in the Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh.
And now very cheesy but boring neighborhood called Carisdale.
Oh yes.
Blarg, blarg, blarg. There were kids who played outside then. Not so much now because you gotta live in a $4 million house.
That's right.
So I grew up under a a child psychiatrist mother and a sign painter father. So I had like the serious and the humorous parental conflicts at war and strength all the time. So I cut my teeth on things there, and I went through whatever public school system, but then I was like, school. Yeah, like art school. And I actually applied to Emily Carr. I know, Emily Carr, amazing. Now. But when I went, I spent the orientation week trying to find the color of my aura.
Oh.
And I quit. Walked out of orientation. And the receptionist said, nobody quits Emily Carr. And I said, I'm not quitting. I don't even really think I've started. Oh. So I don't know if you're familiar with Vancouver, but I took the year off and I shacked up with a boyfriend and I partied at Love Affair.
Oh my God. What year was this?
It was like 1990 or so.
Yes.
It was a sort of post expo.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Oh my God. It was so good. It was the best thing ever. And then I went to Langara College of Art. Mm. Or not Langara College of Art, Langara College, Vancouver Community College, as it was before. And it's an amazing 2-year program. And he cut my teeth on there. And yeah, I was like, you know, did 2 years there where you just like you went to art school too, so you like immerse yourself in all these different mediums, and then you get spat out, and it was like everybody went to Emily Carr mostly, and then it was like, I'm gonna go to the Alberta College of Art and Design, or ACA as it was then, in Calgary. And people from Vancouver were like, nobody leaves Vancouver, like Vancouver is like the best place in the world. And I think it's different when you grow up, you know, in the 70s. It's Vancouver is one thing, and then it was like just a completely different. It was a good, yeah. I wanted out. I wanted to do something different. So I went to the Prairies,
and that's a good school.
It's an amazing school. I mean, fast forward to to the rest of my life where I spent a lot of time down in the States, but I have to say, like, we've got Emily Carr, which is a great school. Don't get me wrong. And Alberta College of Art and Design now as it is, and OCAD and NASCAD, all amazing schools for all sorts of different mediums. But I actually, to be honest, Calgary is like my home. I love Calgary.
Hmm.
You know, if I could never move back to Vancouver, but Calgary maybe.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would.
Because you are in a very, very, very beautiful place right now.
I am. And you have roots here, too.
I know. It's so funny. So I was, well.
I haven't been to Kentville.
Pardon?
I haven't been to Kentville. I haven't.
You haven't. Well, you are missing out.
I will. Yeah.
My friend owns the Dairy Queen there. So pop in.
Oh. Exactly.
I was born in Vancouver. And I lived in Vancouver again. Like, I left there when I was a baby and went to Nova Scotia. So I lived in Kentville, yeah, not far from Halifax, until I was about 7. And then went back to visit occasionally here and there up until I was about 13 to visit the friend that owns the Dairy Queen.
Right.
And, but haven't been back since I was about 20-something. But it's, Nova Scotia is such a special place.
It is. It's like, it's only 1 million people, like the whole of Nova Scotia, I think. I could be wrong a little bit off, 5 or 10 people. But it's a very small, and your dog. It's a very small and special place, you know, and with of course, like hubs like Halifax, of course, and I haven't had the time to actually explore a tour as much as I totally should.
Well, how did you end up there because of all the places? Okay, wait. What did you do in the States? Because there was a lot of schools in the States. Were those residencies? Were you teaching there? Were you doing more school?
I went to Kent State University, where, which was, you know, known for its Vietnam protests and such. Not that I went there because of that, but I have an instructor who always says that I have to remind people of that social political connection. I went there. I could have gone to other places in the States, but it was just suggested that this Professor Kirk Mangus and I should be one. And so that's where I ended up. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Like they say of Ohio, round on both ends and high in the middle. And people think like, oh, you know, Ohio is just the same as Canada. I'm like, no, it is so not. But after that, I ended up, you know, pre-Trump era, I don't even know, it was like late 90s, you could get an optional training visa for kind of nothing. And so I ended up going to New York, and then I ended up kind of, staying in around cocktail waitressing, made more money cocktail waitressing than I did being an artist, but whatever.
Booze sells, baby.
Yeah, booze sells.
Well, this whole time, were you doing ceramics? Had that always been your thing, or no?
When I went out to New York, I ended up working at this place called Greenwich House Pottery in the West Village, and being one of four technicians and making a lot of clay for other people and loading and unloading kilns. But you know, all these things, like I always tell students, learn how to do a lot of things. Like learn how to waitress, learn how to hone your social skills, learn how to don a lot of hats, you know, to get through, because the hustle is still there. Even like that was in my 20s, and now I'm like in my 40s, and the hustle is still there.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, so I mean, I'd have to look at my CV, but after that, it was like a constant bouncing back and forth between college appointments in the States, teaching at Ohio University and University of Michigan, and coming back to the Alberta College of Art
as a teacher
twice over, and then heading up the program at the University of Manitoba.
In Winnipeg?
In the Peg.
Yeah.
And that's so funny. It was like, yeah. But finally I had an instructor, Sadashi Inazuka, who is Japanese-born, Canadian citizenship, but taught at the University of Michigan. And he was like, Mariko, the correct pronunciation. And he said, you know, like, how long do you want to have these one-year gigs? And I was like, not much longer. And he's like, well, you have to make a decision. And so I finally decided, like, I'm done with these one-year gigs. It was exhausting, right?
Yeah.
Traveling around with the same 8 boxes of belongings and just landing somewhere and having to deal with visas and this and that, you know, every year. So, yeah. But the Halifax thing, oh. This is the best and worst thing you could ever do. Online dating. I had actually moved back to Calgary, and then I met somebody, and I lived on Gabriel Island.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. But I'm not really a nature person.
Well, then Gabriel is not a good place for you.
No. So when that relationship ended, I was like, you know, I drank a lot of wine with my neighbor. And we were like, let's go online dating. And so then I ended up getting on a plane and coming out with the wiener dogs out here. And then that fell apart.
Oh, my word.
So now I'm kind of here. But I have to say that Halifax is quite an amazing little enclave of artistic community. So I'm not bashing it in any way. Sometimes these things happen.
And so are you going to online date again, or are you done with that now?
I'm in the process of online dating. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Details to follow.
All right. Well, we'll just watch and see where you're teaching next, and then we'll know.
You know what? The teaching thing, it comes and it goes. You know, I think that the advice that I give to grad students is, you know, the inverse proportion of teaching gigs to grad students is very small. Like, that was what was told to us by this very crusty grad prof. And he was like, you know, like, make good art before you do anything. Just make good art. Hmm. And then whatever, teaching gigs, meh. But yeah, teaching gigs are like they're a curse and a blessing.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope, I guess, for working on your own stuff.
It's a work. Yeah. And where ceramics is concerned, you could teach it a few hours one day a week, but then you have to go in multiple days a week to load and unload kilns too. So sometimes...
Why are you doing that? Why aren't the students doing that?
Well, I think it varies from school to school, to be honest. I think it's what they promote, and I think that I don't want to make a blanket statement per se, but you know, when I lived in the States, your education is a commodity that you buy. So I found that in the last few years that I taught there, the students were really into getting A's, and that's cool. That's fine. And everybody starts off with an A, I figure, and then you work your way down from there. but there were a few students who actually were like, you know, your job is to load and unload my work, and my job is to show up for class and this and that. And, you know, it just depended on, like, the amount of tuition that they were paying.
Wow, that's interesting. I never even thought of that.
I dare to say that it doesn't happen as much in Canada. I think not that we're more well healed by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that there is there was this weird thing, and I think that the students that I taught in the States, they just had so many classes that they were running to. So if ceramics or arts weren't their fine arts weren't their major, then they just sort of depended on you to be that person who does all those things. So, you know, because they were doing nursing and they were doing, you know, it was like the extra.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And so are you teaching now still?
I teach occasionally. I have taught at the Nova Scotia School of Art and Design, an excellent program too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, right now, the enrollment fluctuates. So sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not there. Sometimes it's just specific to whatever they need. I'm not worried though. Like, I do okay.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because your stuff is so cool that, you know, and I think teaching, you're right, it's really smart to use it as a supplement, but then some people drop it when they don't need it anymore. And so what's going on with you now? So you're in Nova Scotia.
I'm in
Nova Scotia. We'll see for how long.
Right. Online dating.
Yes. And then your shop is called Forge Studios.
Forge Studios.
And do you have a shop, or is that solely online, or how does that all work?
Well, this is the kooky thing, is that, like, last year, you know, it's like that, the things that you wish for, everything came true. I had shows all over the States. I'm not, you know, dissing Canada whatsoever. It's just that the States happen to have a lot more traffic, a lot more disposable income. Or Canadians, you know, like, we like to, I mean, we're always conscious of the dollar too. And that's a big thing. Like, what is $100 here is $75 there.
Right.
So there is that kind of optics of things. So, you know, colleagues of mine are like, go for the States, go for that, you know, that's where the spending money is. That said, I don't want to diss my Canadian buying public audience. So it's a difficult juggle, and it's a difficult dance to kind of work. But that said, I do show mostly in the States. I think the onset of social media and the likes of Instagram has saved my life in terms of sales. I tend to sell more of my smaller works off of Instagram, and then I do my more sculptural works through galleries in the States.
Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense.
Because I can, I can work the numbers a little bit better. If you've got a gallery, and I have no problem giving a gallery 50% whatsoever, as long as they're doing the legwork, you know.
Yeah.
But smaller stuff, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But for the bigger stuff, you kind of need a bit of a broker.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Well, and you know, and that leads me to a question that I had, because your functional stuff is still weird and hilarious. Yet functional. And then there's your sculptural stuff. Do you have a preference of which one's functional versus sculptural, or is it all the same to you? Or
no, like last year I had like the banner year of exhibitions where I got to make a ton of sculptural stuff. That said, I didn't, brutally honest, I didn't make a lot of sales. That's not the gallery's fault. That's just the way it is.
Right.
So a lot of, I did an Instagram post and Facebook post where it was just like kind of bum, 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 because I had like boxes, return. But that's okay, you know, because like now I've got an opportunity to work the sofa, you know, show in Chicago, the Sculpture Objects Fine Arts. So through a gallery here. So, you know, these things work out. Like, I don't get so bummed out, but I just spent so much time making sculptural work that I forgot about, like, oh, feeding myself.
Right.
Or more so feeding the wiener dogs. So now I, you know, have sort of pulled it back and have, like, the thing is that, you know, I have friends who are production potters who make, you know, 100, they throw 100 things a day or whatever they do, you know, like they do a lot of things a day. And I work on 5 things a day, you know, like I touch 5 mugs a day.
Yeah.
And each mug gets touched and fired 5 times. So that, you know, for me to put 20 mugs through, it takes me like a month to do it. So I have to really think about, you know, how I'm going to market it and such. And so,
well, how do you do that? Because your quote unquote functional pieces do take you so long. So they're not really like, you know, you're not whipping them out and.
No, the more so the functional pieces, I just deal with myself.
Yeah. And then that way you keep 100%.
That way I keep 100%. Like, you can make it work if you want to make it work. But I think that one of the things that's really hard about the ceramics arts is it's that it's perceived as a functional thing and a low priced.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, I think, the tricky thing about functional, right? And I had Molly Hatch on last year, and she was talking about that the work that she did, and I think it was Anthropology that wanted to, you know, do the line with her. And she's like, that's impossible. I mean, and then they found ways to be sneaky and do it. And, you know, now she could just sell them designs and it works for her. And then that way she can focus on her sculpture. Would you ever do anything like that? Or does that not?
No, I got approached by a company in California to do that. But what they didn't take into consideration was like they needed a design line that was so simple that they could so they were like, well, you need to redraw all this and do all this. And so basically what they wanted was like a decal or a decal.
Right.
That would just be a mug wrap thing. And it was like, okay, well, that's what you should have asked for. But what I did was ended up making but I do have a friend in Ontario who ended up doing fine with them, you know, but
if it doesn't feel right, you don't do it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, what's the translation going to be?
Yeah, and your name's on it.
And your name's on it, and the percentage of what you get was like, what? I mean, it was what it was, but they had so much trouble reproducing or like potentially reproducing it that I was like, it just wasn't going to work.
It'd be so great if you could find somebody that could do it, because then who's like a true partner with you, right? Because then you could hand that over.
Yeah.
You know, free up your time, because I got to say, your sculptural stuff is so cool. And I mean, it all is, but yeah, it would be so fun to focus on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I will, you know, focus on that again. Like it's like that weird sibling that you have that you're like, oh, I'm gonna call on them to to like help me out with things. If I could make sculpture work all the time, that would be awesome. And it's funny. Like I have a couple of collectors in the States that if I could make gay porn work for them all the time, then I would totally do so. But, you know, I'm like, I got to balance it out. And then, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, you know, you could make all this stuff on spec for this or that thematic shows and sell nothing.
Right.
So it's kind of like, what you got to sell something to make.
Yeah, you've got all those wiener dogs to feed. Yeah,
I got the wiener with, and they have like expensive taste and a can of food.
But you must love doing your functional stuff too, because it's not just like a mug. They're super weird and crazy and awesome.
Yeah, they're super weird and crazy, and you know, I get a lot of commissions to do personalized mugs and platters and things. It's taken a lot though to bump up the prices of things, but at the same time, you know, I like eating out. I like getting my hair done, but not really, you know, like,
yeah, no, I know.
It's like, if you're going to pay $75 for a haircut or a meal or go out or, you know,
you got to move some units.
You got to move some units. And so when people, like, I get people all the time saying, like, is it really going to be that much? And I'm like, well, like, when's the last time you went out for oysters or whatever? Like, what, you know, when's the last time you bought an airline ticket? Like, what?
I know, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, because people expect to get a mug on sale for $7, you know, and so, like, they're not seeing it as a functional art piece.
No.
Which is a shame. But I think yours blends a nice little line, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's my thing that I tell, like, emerging artists and students. I say, like, don't price your work as if you're buying it. Because I can't afford my work.
Right.
Price it to the point of, you know, the audience point who is going to buy your work. And that's not to sound snobby or anything or elitist whatsoever, but like, if we price things based on what I can afford, like, I feed my wiener dogs better than I do myself. It's like, but at the same time, I do like going out for dinner and this and that. And I know what I will pay for one night's worth of food and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So why can't that person, you know, think about that as far as like, oh, what are my highlights going to cost? What are my dinners going to cost? What is my next furniture purchase going to cost?
Yeah, and like, and you know, sometimes artists, the way they price it is like, especially with something like ceramics, where there is, you know, hours and hours of things that have to happen before this bowl shows up. You know, it's like, if you do the math, you're paying yourself like $1 an hour.
Totally.
You know, and it's like, that's not cool.
Yeah, totally. I think that Molly Hatch is amazing. I think that the fellow that she has done the Think Big online course with, Ben Carter, is amazing. Like, they got Meredith Host and Kristen Kiefer. Like, they have bumped it up, you know, like, it is, this is an artwork. You're buying an artwork. And I have people who call me all the time who have broken a piece. And you know what? I will remake that mug or whatever, and I will completely give them a discount. Because I would rather have people use the work than not use the work.
Right.
I would rather have people use the work than have the work just sit up on a shelf and say, oh, no, I would never use. I was like, no, that's the point. It's like, use it, lose it, break it, whatever. Like,
yeah, love it, enjoy it.
Love it, enjoy it. You know, that's what it's there for. That's what it's there for.
How about the urns?
The urns. I have a friend, and he is quickly passing, and so I have designed an amazing urn. It is an honor and a privilege to do that.
Wow.
An honor and a privilege. I have made one. I made one for my aunt. I've made one for multiple
That's pets
and this and
yeah.
that. It is here. I wish I could remember the year and the month of the Ceramics Monthly article. It was a bazillion years ago. But, you know, the point is that you can make any works for any gallery with anonymous owners to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a commission, especially for something so precious.
Yeah.
Then you channel in, and all of a sudden it becomes a million times more important. And, you know, this friend who survived HIV and then was revived and then was immediately diagnosed with stage 4 cancer is now, you know, going. But, and then there's a good friend who's kind of channeling it all. And I said, you know, you just give me the highlights of his life. What do you want on that? What do you want on that? And then the amazing thing, Danielle, is that his dog is also older. So I will make a complimentary urn for Dante as well. And sort of a tray that they both sit on.
Oh my gosh.
That's the bonus of being an artist, is being able to channel in and make people's lives like that much better. And so,
yeah.
So whatever goes on in my life is like, blah, blah, blah. But then every once in a while you get those special commissions that just.
Yeah, that must be crazy to work on.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's funny, when I lived out on Gabriel Island, I mean, I met this person, and there was so many levels of meeting him, and it wasn't actually an especially great meeting. And now that it's the end of his very young life, this is what you can do.
This is what you
can sell, and to whoever. And actually, I sold the piece to a collector when I was at this ceramic conference in Wisconsin, and I was at the piece was at a gallery, and the collector did not want to meet me. He was there at the same time, but did not want to meet me.
Why?
And so, just his personality, like, he just wanted to collect art. He did not want to know who the artist was or what their deal was. And I was like, you know, the gallery owner said, this is just the way it is. And I was like, okay. But then every once in a while you get those commissions where you're like, okay, like, you get to.
Yeah, you're so involved.
You get to be so involved, but at the same time, you know, it's I don't want to say a relaxing, it's not a relaxing process, but a resolved process.
Yeah.
You know, where mm-hmm. somebody. Okay, this is what their final place is kind of gonna.
Oh my God! Will he see it, or has he seen the designs or anything?
We are sort of he participated in a boat building school out on Gabriola, and so I want to get a few more details, but it's going to be like that Japanese Hokusai waves, printing waves, and then whatever boats he wants, you know. So I've got the preliminary drawings, but you know, it's just so overwhelming for him to deal with everything right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
So the friend who's actually going to be shelving his works, you know, his peace and his being, I'm like, well, whatever. You're like, what do you want to look at?
Yeah. But what an honor for you to be involved in that.
I had
no idea you did it for people. I wrote about the Mr. Pants urn.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Pants.
Pants the cat. Exactly. I did not know that you did it for people as well. That's like...
Yeah.
Beautiful, but heavy.
It's beautiful, but heavy. And you know what I mean? I'm sure one could make like a bazillion dollars doing it, but like it's so specialized. Like I'm like, if I don't know the person or I don't know the pet, then a pet, it's really hard to. I had a wiener dog who passed away about I guess it was a couple of years now, and I still haven't made him.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's like sort of in the shoebox thing. It'll come, but sometimes it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I know. Our wiener dogs are getting old. They're 13 and 11, and I was joking with my vet the other day because Stella, she's about to lose all of her teeth, I think. They're going to have to pull them all out. And she's a 13-year-old, and small dogs. And I said to the vet, my next pet is going to be a tortoise. Like, I want something that outlives me because I cannot deal with the heartbreak of losing them. Maybe just no more pets. Okay.
Well,
are you ready for the not so speedy speed round?
Totally.
Okay. How much would you have to be paid to wrestle a luchador? Would you do it for free or would you need to be paid to do it?
In food.
You would be paid in food?
I would need to be paid in like handmade tacos. I would need to be paid. There is a corn. When this corn gets moldy, it's called they're gonna chime in, but it's like this fungus, this mushroom that grows on the side of corn. I had it in San Diego. It's the most delicious thing ever. So this mold on the side of the corn, tacos, and I'm not a tequila drinker, so just a lot of beer.
Okay, I was going to say you might need a tequila if you're going to get in the ring, but okay, a whole bunch of beer, bunch of cerveza, and then we'll throw you in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. I would pay to see that. I would pay you in moldy corn.
Okay,
cool. Great. See, now I have an excuse to put all your luchador stuff in the post.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this is some Nova Scotia trivia.
Oh, God.
Do you, and this is a callback, if anybody's a diehard listener to this podcast, this is a callback, I believe, to episode one. Trivia. Do you know what a female lobster is called?
Lobsterista?
No.
I don't know. What? Really? I'm sure there is. Because I know there's like female crabs on the West Coast. Like they've got different shapes on their bellies.
Would you like to know?
Yes, I would.
They're called hens.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Male lobsters. Okay. Cock and hen.
Really?
Yep. Martha Rich guessed, I think she said lobsterette. I think that might have been her guess.
Which I thought was
hilarious. And so she was born in Maine, so I asked her the same question. Neither of us knew. Hen. Okay. Did you play a sport in high school?
Only in elementary school, soccer. I'm not a sporty person. I'm not a nature person. Not a sporty person.
I always find it fun to ask artists that because some of them were super sporty. And then other people are like, yeah, no.
That's the worst part of online dating. It's like people who like climb and hike, do all sorts of...
Do you think
like,
they really do, or do you think they just put that in their profile?
Well, I don't know. No, they do. I think they do. And I'm just like, really? Like, how really are you? Like, are you really into, you know, in the
don't
pictures?
Move back to Vancouver then.
No, I know. I can't.
Okay, I have one last question for you, and then I'm letting you go because it's late there. Favorite dessert?
Oh my goodness. Favorite dessert. Wow.
Are you a sugar person?
I totally love the sugar. I am a lemony person. I am a lemony, a lemon bar.
Oh, yeah.
I am a lemon bar, lemon tart
person. You're a lemon tart.
Yeah. I am a Scorpio, too. So I think that's where that chimes in. So anything kind of lemony.
I love it. That's not my jam. But you know what? This will make you love me more. My dad... The reason we lived in Nova Scotia is he worked for Agriculture Canada.
Oh, yeah.
At the Kentville Research Station. And before that, though, he worked at General Foods, and he was a taste tester / scientist developing the lemon pie goo.
Whoa.
That you know, like the pudding packs that you make to make the lemon meringue pies?
Yeah.
Yeah, when my mom and he were first married, that was his job. And so he gained like 20 pounds in the first year of their marriage because he was eating lemon pie every day to make sure that it tasted like real lemon.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be a good job for you?
Yeah, I think. You know, like, I love cooking. I love cooking savory. Baking is so exact.
I know, it's too sciencey.
So every once in a while, I'm like, I'm gonna just like try and figure out how to.
Yeah, I just buy it. Why am I talking about myself? This is supposed to be you. And it's now I gotta go make dinner, and it's now
go
late.
Dinner.
And our dogs did great.
Relatively speaking,
yeah,
they did.
Yeah, for wiener dogs, like that's shocking.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Tubes is now at the window again, like, looks, scoping for...
Somebody might walk by and you have to be ready to...
I know. Well, listen, if I need to follow up, give me a yell.
If there's anything I need for the post, I'll let you know. And and if I ever come your way, I am absolutely letting you know.
All right. We got wieners.
We do.
We got a lot of wieners. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for this. It was so fun to actually talk to you, and I can't wait to share your work again.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Have fun, BC.
Thank you. Watch out for the fires.
Girl. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Well, there we go. I think she is just as fun and crazy as her wonderful work. Wiener dogs, online dating, lemon pie, we covered it all. Thank you so much to Mariko for being so open and honest about the hustle. Thanks to Saatchi Art and Thrive for supporting this episode. And of course, thanks to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.